call for cooperation in impeachment inquiry.
It's not about politics. It's about patriotism.
President lashes out.
Who's the person that gave the whistleblower the information? Because that's close to a spy.
Letter from ex-security officials.
We consider the president's actions to be a profound national security concern.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Capital One.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kaith, and a nasty fight is in its early rounds in Washington with a whistleblower complaint now public and an impeachment inquiry gaining steam.
I never thought we would see a president take the actions that he has. In fact, I don't think our founders ever thought a president would do such a thing.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi alleging a cover-up of the information in President Trump's phone call to Ukraine's leader. Leading Senate Republican Richard Burr says it's too early to reach conclusions.
There's a lot that we have to learn to proceed forward, but it's our intentions to go through that process.
Well, CBS's Nancy Cordes says the whistleblower alleges an abuse of power, with President Trump pushing Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden and his son.
It's what the whistleblower says happened in the days following the call that has rocked Capitol Hill. Quote, senior White House officials intervened to lock down all records of the phone call, removing a summary of the conversation from the normal computer system and storing it in a classified system where few people would see it. According to White House officials, this was not the first time.
CBS's Stephen Portnoy tells us President Trump is counterpunching.
We're at war.
The president furiously lashed out at the whistleblower and his White House sources at a closed event for U.S. diplomats in New York. This recording was obtained by Bloomberg News.
Who's the person that gave the whistleblower the information? Because that's close to a spy. You know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart, right? With spies and treason, right? We used to handle it a little differently than we do now.
Mr. Trump's reference to harsh punishment, possibly even the death penalty, was said to shock the audience of government employees and only further fueled the outrage on the left. As he returned to Washington yesterday, the president told reporters the Democrats' impeachment effort shouldn't be allowed.
There should be a way of stopping it, maybe legally through the courts.
Correspondent Cammie McCormick says nearly 300 former national security and foreign policy officials have signed a statement.
The letter says, having worked across administrations of both parties, we consider the president's actions to be a profound national security concern. And if we fail to act now, it says, U.S. foreign policy and national security will be officially on offer to those who can fulfill the president's personal objectives. The letter also says it's not meant to prejudge the outcome, but the allegations are serious enough to merit impeachment proceedings.
Well, former CIA man and CBS News senior national security contributor Michael Morrell joins us now. When you read the whistleblower complaint, what did it tell you about who wrote it?
It jumped out to me immediately that this was, number one, an analyst, because it is so well written, so clear about what they know, what they didn't know, how they learned it. So it's very clear to me that an analyst wrote it, number one. Number two, it was somebody who had spent some time at the White House, because they obviously knew a lot about policy discussions regarding Ukraine and a lot about how the White House works in terms of how documents move and where they're stored.
These allegations were brought first to the CIA, right?
We've learned from media reporting that the whistleblower first went to the general counsel, to the senior lawyer at the CIA. The general counsel then told the White House, and the CIA said yesterday that the general counsel was simply following policy. Having served at senior levels at CIA, I can tell you there is no such policy. So I think the CIA has some explaining to do in why they ran to the White House with this information rather than just to the Justice Department.
The whistleblower alleges a cover-up, saying details of the Ukraine call were put on a more secure computer. How unusual would that be?
So that's one piece of the complaint that we don't know yet if it's true, right? If it is true, it would be highly unusual to put a document that is unclassified, the summary of the conversation between the president and the Ukrainian president, on such a top-secret server where the most sensitive secrets of the United States government are kept.
What about the president's comments about the whistleblower and those who might have passed information to that person? Does it amount to intimidation?
That's the way I read his intent in the way he said it. To me, the whistleblower is a hero. The whistleblower had the integrity to stand up when they thought they saw wrongdoing. And even more importantly, the whistleblower had the integrity to go through the process and not run secretly to a journalist and leak the information.
Michael Morrell, thanks very much. The Trump administration is proposing another cut to the number of refugees allowed into the U.S. to a point that's down 84% from the cap in the final year of the Obama presidency. Here's CBS's Allison Keyes.
The proposed new policy would cut the number of refugees that could be resettled in the U.S. down to 18,000. That would include 5,000 people fleeing religious persecution, 4,000 Iraqis, and 1,500 from Guatemala, Honduras, or El Salvador.
Well, there's been a second lung illness death linked to vaping in Oregon, and the state's health officer, Dr. Dean Seidlinger, is urging people to stop vaping immediately.
I think as the trend continues, I think we are going to see increased number of cases and tragically more deaths.
The latest death now brings the nationwide total to 13. Two people were sentenced to prison time this week for their roles in the college admission scandal. Both paid big money to get their children into top schools. CBS's Peter King joins us with more on the money trail.
Well, some schools have spent the money they received. Some say they'll donate to charity. The Wall Street Journal reports Stanford University received $770,000 and is talking with the California Attorney General about where it should go. University of Texas Austin built new tennis facilities with the money. Wake Forest says it's donating cash for scholarships, and Chapman University says it's sending $400,000 to programs for at-risk children. Steve?
An Alaska Airlines flight from New York to L.A. was diverted to Kansas City after a passenger argued with the flight crew when he was told he couldn't use a first-class bathroom. The man was restrained and later taken into custody. Miami is the setting for the next Super Bowl, and now we know about the halftime entertainment.
J-Lo and Shakira are talking about their joint appearance at Super Bowl halftime.
I love that the Super Bowl has two women performing this year, that they have two Latinos performing this year.
They plug the performance on Thursday Night Football.
At the end of the day, it's about making a statement of love and unity and make everybody come together just for a moment, and hopefully that resonates.
Make everybody count.
Jay-Z's Rock Nation will help produce the show. It airs February 2nd on Fox from Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
And that's the CBS World News Roundup for Friday, the broadcast produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.